Seems like we've got more and more issues going on. It seems like it's getting scarier and scarier. Not the first time, won't be the last. But you know, if we truly put our faith in Jesus, we can have that hope. Turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter 13. We're going to go into a very common or very popular parable that Jesus spoke to the crowd that was gathered there. And we're going to look at it with an idea of preparing our hearts. We're in spring. And as you go down to Fredericksburg, as you look across the fields along the roads, you're going to see that the tractors are out and they're plowing the fields. And they're out and they're fertilizing the fields. And they're out and they're putting the seed in the ground. And so because of the mechanization that we face and because of the world we live in, sometimes we have a hard time understanding the pictures, the parables that Jesus is sharing with the people that are around him. We don't necessarily live in an agricultural economy, at least not to the extent that they did. They were 100% dependent upon that economy. They couldn't go to the grocery store and get food. They depended on what came out of the ground. They had to save what came out of the ground, and that had to see them through the year. They might get a few little trades hither and yon, but most of it was as a result of the economy that we're in. One of the most common crops was to sow wheat or barley. And so the way that you would go about doing that is you would take you'd have a bag with seed in it, not a great big truck or anything like that. And you would take it and you would take it out of your bag and you would cast the seed. Okay? You can imagine it wouldn't be very expeditious to go and take those and put them in the ground one by one. All right? It wouldn't even be good to go like this. It would take too long when you've got, you know, an acre or 2 acres field to deal. That's a lot of work. So you would take it and you would cast it. And so it's with that picture that Jesus comes to this crowd. And, you know, Matthew chapter 13, if you're not aware of it, is one of the first sets of parables that we have in the book of Matthew. These aren't the only parables that Jesus spoke, but these are the ones that the Holy Spirit inspired Matthew, the tax collector, to write down for our admonition. And there in Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 4 or 3, we read, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow." Jesus had been running around, and he was being tagged and followed by people that wanted to be healed. It was getting almost impossible for him to find an isolated moment. It was almost impossible for him to find a time when he wasn't being pressed on by the crowds. But Jesus left the protection and the comfort of his own home, whatever home he was staying in, because he really didn't own his own home, right? But he went and he got into the midst of people. And if I can, just for illustration purposes, say he was trying to talk to them. But because of the press of the crowd, because of the height of the people, because of the density of the people, it wouldn't go very far. And all he was there was to teach. He wasn't there to command presence. He wasn't there to do a PowerPoint presentation. He wasn't there to impress anybody. He was there to teach these people what they needed, and he wanted it to relate them to something that they knew. So he uses a parable. He gets in a boat. He gets off of the shore so that now he's above the people. He is standing, no longer sitting, which means you can imagine if you're in a little bit of a boat, it took quite an art. And he's there concentrating and he's sharing with the people the illustrations from life that he could give a spiritual meaning to. That's what a parable is. A parable is a incident in life that has a spiritual application. And so Jesus is here to embrace them at where they are. And it becomes so important that when we take the word of God, that we need to realize that we need to embrace people where they are. We can't come down on them as an authority. We need to get down with them, but make sure that they can hear, make sure that they can see, so they can look into our eyes and they can see hearts that are burdened, They could see the burden of Jesus. He had done so much for them already, and now he says, enough with this healing. I need to give you lessons that are going to last for your lifetime. I need to tell you about the sower and his seed. And immediately, everyone would pop up in their mind this picture of this guy with a bag on and going out into the field and having tilled the ground, and he's there casting his seed out onto the dirt. And so it's with that picture that Jesus comes to him, and he relays this parable. And he goes, and it says, and when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But the other fell into the good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. Jesus simply conveys a story of life. A very simple, direct correlation. And all he ends it with, after giving all these detailed descriptions about the seed and how some was cast over on the pathway that went around all the fields. They didn't have 1,000-acre fields. It was 1, 2, at the most maybe 10-acre fields. Enough for them to plow in 2 days what they could by hand, by pushing the plow through the dirt, or with an ox. And then they would have to go and they would have to cast the seed. But all along the edge of this was a pathway for people to get from one place to another, to get from one field to another, to get from one city to another. And these pathways would get very trodden down. They were packed. There was no place for the seed to sink in. And he says some was sown on the pathway. There on the edge of the field also was all the places where as they plowed, they would run into rocks. Have you ever noticed that? Doesn't matter how many times you pick up all the rocks, next year there's always more rocks to pick up. So they'd pick up these rocks and they would cast them all along the edge of the fields. And so there was these stony places. The people knew about this. And Jesus says, and some of those cast seeds would land on the rocks. And because there was enough soil and just enough moisture, they would sprout. But when the sun came down and it started heating those rocks up to 110, 120 degrees, it dried those poor little seedlings up and they vanished. And he told about the fact that some of the seeds were cast and they're inside the rocks and were the weeds where you couldn't get close enough to plow against it. So there were weeds. And some of the seeds landed amongst them. And there was ground and there was water and they were able to sprout. But the problem with weeds is they usually grow faster than the crop that you want, right? And so they got choked out, he said. And then he goes and he talks about all the rest of it that landed on the fertile soil. And some of those seeds would bring forth 20-fold, 40-fold. In other words, 20 times what you, one seed yielded 20 seed, one yielded 40 seed, one yielded 100 seeds. And he tells them this story and he stops right there. We have no explanation other than the physical description that he's given. And he says, let him that hath ears hear. You see, the parable was there. But the meaning, the spiritual application, could only be learned by the one that was willing to listen now, not just to the voice of Jesus and the story, but to the voice of God and its application to their heart. And folks, when we are going and we are reading the precious word of God, and we're looking into it, and sometimes it seems like, oh, these are a bunch of mundane details. We need to say, Lord, what is it that I'm supposed to hear? This week and last week, I was going through 1st and 2nd Chronicles. If you've never read through 1st and 2nd Chronicles, it's a list. It's a list of people that did this. It's a list of people that did that. Jake was a deacon of the church, and Don was a trustee of the church, and Bonnie was the greatest helper of the church, and Beverly was the slide maker of the church, and on and on and on and on you go, and you say, what in the world do I need to know this for? But God says he recorded it, and he that has ears will hear what the Spirit of God wants to him to hear. You know what I heard? There are mundane tasks that have to be done. Somebody has to do it, and God's paying attention to who's doing it. Doesn't matter what the task is. Doesn't matter how small the burden. If we are doing our task, God has us written down for having accomplished that task. You see, let him that hath ears hear. My folks, we can't just read this book for the information. And it's got wonderful information. It's got wonderful stories. It's got wonderful facts. And they're intriguing at times, but we have to ask the Spirit of God to give us ears to hear, that we can go beyond just words in a book, just stories, just adages. We need to say, Lord, how can I change? What do I need to apply to my life, your life? Is the Spirit of God in you? Then you have to be listening. He that has ears, let him hear. Y'all have ears, right? But do you have spiritual ears? So God wants to prepare our hearts. We can hear and understand with our ears and our head, but that does not transform the heart. We need to listen and adjust to the messages as the Holy Spirit teaches and applies the words to our heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. It says, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Do you understand what that verse is saying? It's saying that God has a wonderful treasury, a trove of riches that he wants to give to you, that he wants to expose to you. But you have to be willing to hear it. You have to be willing to stop and stop using your brain. Stop using your mouth. Stop listening to my voice and listen to the voice of God. He has wonderful things to expose to you, and I may preach the word faithfully and I may be good and all that, but until you hear it from God, it's not going to be as exciting. You need to allow God, say, God, transform the words of that stupid guy that's up front and let them be words that minister to my heart, that strengthen me. He has wonderful treasures there for us, and we have to be willing to seek them. We need to be saying, Lord, what is the message for me? You know, so often, I can still think about it. Maybe I've shared this story before, but I can remember preaching, and I forget what I was preaching on, but I know I wasn't preaching on this. And so this young lady comes forward, and she opens up her hands, and she hands me a whole handful of earrings. And she says, the Lord has told me to give these up. I'm going, what? I didn't say anything about having to give anything up. I didn't even touch the subject. But the Lord, through that message, somehow spoke to her heart. You see, he that has ears, let him hear. Why are you listening for the voice of God, or are you listening for the voice of Rob? That's a big mistake if you're listening to the voice of Rob. You need to be saying, Pat, God, use that man up there to stir my heart into areas that I can't even think about, that he hasn't even think about. There are other times when you get up here and you preach a message, and all of a sudden somebody comes up to you and says, were you peeking in my window this week? But a lot of times it's not that way, because the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, speaks to us and translate that message into an application for our hearts. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 16. And we've already done 9, so I'm just going to skip down. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. See, here is this simple story about a man sowing seed, and God is going to transform that. He's going to, because for what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of a man which is in him? In other words, you're a man, what do you know? You know manly things. You know human things, right? Just not not to say that women can't know, but you know human things, right? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. We try to figure God out based upon what we know. That's not fair to God. God's far bigger than anything we know. And so we need to be looking to Him, say, Lord, help reveal to me more about You. And don't let me rely upon the world and its interpretation. Don't allow me to rely on Jake and his interpretation. Lord, let me see You. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Those who are saved, those that are like Paul, those that are in the Corinthian church that are born again and have a new name written down in glory, they will receive from God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us. So God wants to reveal to us the things that He has given to us. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So here we have a physical description of an item, the sowing of the seed, the four different grounds that it lands in. And so we have to go and we have to go over here and say, Lord, I see the picture, but what does this mean for me? What is it that I have to deal with? Where is the seed that landed on hardened ground in a pathway in my life? Where is Your word that's come in and I've allowed it to not sink in? I've allowed the heat of the day to burn it off. You see, this is what we're talking about, is the spiritual application of this simple story that Jesus is in. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man only sees a great story and maybe a few applications in his own world, but he doesn't see the spiritual truth. But he that is spiritual judgeth of all things, and yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You see, we need that mind of Christ. We need Christ to teach us the truth of the Scriptures and how they apply to us, what it is that might be hindering us. And so we go on in our story, and we see the produce from the parable in verses 18 through 23. Jesus now turns and he says, Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and and catcheth away that which is sown in his heart, this is he which received the seed by the wayside. So now Jesus is beginning to give us a spiritual application. There is a seed, the word of God, that is being cast and is being received, but something snatches it away. But he that received the seed in a stony place, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. So he says good stuff. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by it, by and by, he is offended. So now Jesus says, we've got this one person that, we spread the word, we preach the word, and they said, I don't need that. And they just leave it behind. They're too busy, they're too quick, they're too much on their life's journey to bother with trying to see how this word can fit into their lives. And then he talks about the second soul, the one that's on the stony ground, and how that when persecution, problems, people, the first thing they say, God's not good. Because look at what's happening in my life. God's terrible. He allowed this to happen. Terrible things do happen. But what's our attitude towards them? And so we have those that are like this stony soil, that when persecution and problems come their way, they say, that's enough. I'm going to go back to what I understand. I'm going to go back to what I handle. And then he goes and he talks about the next soil. And this is the soil that says, he also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. So now the third soil. That's the soil that is got weeds around it. And because they're not willing to get rid of the weeds, because they're not willing to plow their lives, the cares and concerns of the world begin to choke out what God is speaking to their hearts. A lot of people today will be challenged by the Word of God, but they say, but I need to be doing what I've always been doing. I am too busy to bother with finding a time to read the Word. I am too busy, and it's too difficult, and I really don't like doing it, to spend time memorizing the Word of God. I don't have enough time to pray because I've got things I got to do. You see, the cares of this world begin to choke it out. A lot of times when we say we don't have the time, it's because we're pursuing the goods of this world. They become too influential and they cause us to peel off the things of God so that we can focus on them. And so we have that third soil. Then we finally have the fourth soil that he talks about. And that's the rich soil. That's the soil that bears fruit. That's the soil that allows the root, the word, to get in and to bear fruit, sink its roots deep, and to bring up and bring something that is of value to someone else. That's what fruit is all about. And are we of value to anyone? How are we being of value to anybody? Some people are going to be tremendously abundant. We do not have control of that. Do you understand? Some people can see hundreds of people come to know Christ. Some people can only get to know two or three people come to know Christ. Some people can see the word spoken and it transforms millions of lives. Some people don't. They only see a few lives changed. But the matter is the word of God sinking down into their heart, out beyond the brain, into the core of what makes their decisions, the mind, will, and emotions, and changes it so that it benefits other people. So here is the explanation of the parable. But he's not done yet. Hebrews 11:24-25 says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. There's the cares of the world. I like this pleasure. I like this food. I like this activity. I like this person. And despite what the Spirit of God is telling you, you pursue after that. That is choking. That is harmful. Moses was wise. Moses was a man of faith because he chose rather to suffer affliction, to be accused, to be rejected. I mean, we think and we say, look at all the great miracles he did. But can you imagine for 40 years dealing with 2 million people moaning and groaning and complaining? Tell me he didn't want to bail. There's a couple times in Scripture we see that he did want to bail. But he was faithful to God. He chose to suffer with those crazy, hard-headed Israelites for 40 years because God was teaching him. We have to deal with some painful people in lives, do we not? But are we going to choose to suffer affliction? Or are we going to choose to be comfortable? There are those that allow the Lord to soften their hearts, direct their paths, and place them in the fertile ground for spiritual growth. This is not a place of comfort, but of work. To absorb the nutrients from the ground, the Word of God, it needs to drink deeply of the water of God's Word to allow it to cleanse and open them up to receive God's Word. Do you realize that you and I, we drink water? Why do we drink water? Well, part of it is to keep our blood flowing correctly, but the reason is so that we can get rid of the toxins that develop in our bodies. And so it is with plants. Plants are not just sucking up nutrients, but they're also getting rid of the junk. They're using their leaves to get rid of the CO2, or the oxygen. They keep CO2, right, chlorophyll. Okay, and so they're processing this all the time. And in the same sense, we need to be realizing that if we're going to be sinking our roots deep, we're going to have to realize that there are things that we're going to have to dump out of our lives. Activities, thoughts, friends, all have to be dumped in order that we can continue to take in the Word of God. I was talking to a friend of mine recently, in fact, just this week, and he was saying, you know, I've been so greatly blessed, and things are going so well, and I just don't have any, the spark isn't there anymore. And I says, is it because at this point, you're really stuffed, and it's time for you to get out and figure out how God wants to use you, what work He wants you to do? He's been strengthening you. He's been filling you. He's been using you in so many, He's been feeding you in so many ways. But now is it time for Him to begin to use you? Are you willing to make those sacrifices of time so that He can use you? And so there's this call that comes that we bear fruit. John 8:12 says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Are you allowing the Spirit of God to be the light that shows you what you need to do and energizes you to do that so that you can bear fruit? I'm not talking about you getting up the will and the checklist to make sure you get it done. I'm talking about an inner drive that only God can provide. Are you looking for God to provide you that strength, or are you just going, oh, well, I'll do it when I get around to it? Where are you today? How would you characterize your attitude towards God's work in your life? Are you willing to allow Him to penetrate your life, interrupt your plans, goals, aspirations, and begin to learn about His desire for your life? Or are your goals too important to allow the Word of God to change them? Jesus gave it all. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He, God, hath made Him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Are you going to allow the Spirit of God to make you righteous in Him? It's in Him. It's not on your own. It's not based, it's in Him, His righteousness in Him. John 19:30 says, then Jesus therefore had received the vinegar. He said, it is finished, and He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. You see, Jesus had completed everything that was necessary for you and I to not just hear the words with our ears, to see them with our eyes, but to allow them to transform our lives. Every day, in every way, no matter what routines or activities you have planned, no matter how regular you are in them, every opportunity that you have, you must say, Lord Jesus, help me to change. Help me to see Your truth from Your eyes and not from my eyes. Let me hear Your truth from Your voice and not my voice and not the voice of those around me. It's a radical change. And it's a change that I'm afraid that even mature believers need to be reminded of. I needed to be reminded of this week. What am I allowing to apply the Word to my life? Are you going to let go and let God? Let's pray. Father, as we're here this morning and we've heard this wonderful parable that Jesus taught, I pray, Father, that You will help us to realize the application for our lives. You will help us to see what You want to do and how we need to listen. Lord, may we cast aside the cares and concerns of this world. Lord, if there's anyone here that has allowed the evil one to come and snatch away the word of truth, may it penetrate their hearts today and they be saved. And Lord, if there be those that are saved and they are just allowing trials and tribulations to keep them from walking with you. Help them to understand. Help them to see. Help them to make the changes necessary. And Lord, if there's anyone here that has allowed the cares and concerns of this world to drown out your voice, to blind them to the activities that you want to do in their lives, Father, may you give them mercy and grace this morning and allow them to feel and sense your presence with them. And Lord, help us. Help us to realize that you want to use us, each one differently. Let us keep from being compared one to another, but let us only look to what do you want us to do today, Lord. Father, if I'm going to be the garbage man, help me to be the best garbage man that there ever was. Lord, if you want me to be the secretary, let me be the best secretary necessary. Father, if you want me to be the best mechanic, let me be the best mechanic I can. Lord, that I might bear fruit for your kingdom. It's not just my abilities. It's the ability to communicate to the world around me that I can do all things, even these mundane tasks, through Christ who strengthens me. And may they see the fruit of Jesus in my lives.